Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome everybody to another episode of Access Radio Live. It is Tuesday, October 25th, 2016. And I have a good show for you. I'm going to get right into it. I got Spencer Lee on the show. I had him on here back in the spring of 2015. I think that at that point he was fresh off of the second state championship in Pennsylvania, undefeated. He's done a lot since then, so I decided to get up with him and catch up and just chit-chat, and just for everybody out there that wants to know what's going on with him. I got him back on the show, and yeah, it's kind of, you know, I sent him a text message to get him on the show, and it was like that one time that I just didn't hear anything, and then, you know, I get to where I like to send those question marks, like, are you going to get on the show? And so, and he finally hit me back. I probably bugged the hell out of him, but I mean, he's a nice guy. So, that's who's going to be on the show. But real quick, you know, so everybody wants to, we're going to talk about this one thing that's going on that everybody wanted me to kind of comment on. So about a week ago, and I know people are listening from Pennsylvania and probably, you know, big wrestling states around, you know, in the country. But so about a week ago in Greensboro, North Carolina, we had this security who was working at a food line. For those of you guys that don't know food line, it's a grocery store. And this 16-year-old kid just walks in and shoots this security guard, you know, dead right in the back of the head. And I got to talking about it to a couple people. And I said, this kid would most likely not serve one day in prison, because he'll probably go and tell his lawyers, or the lawyers will argue that, you know, he mentally he wasn't there, and how his upbringing led him to do that, and you know, all this other stuff. And, you know, I think it's a bunch of crap, but, you know, I think, you know, he needs to be punished for what he's done. I mean, you just don't do that in cold blood. And that guy's just trying to make a living for his family. So, you know, that's my take on it. But, you know, forget about that. I'm getting ready to bring Spencer Lee on, and we're getting ready to start our show here. All right, everybody, I got Spencer Lee, and I just caught him fresh off of his official visit to the University of Iowa. Spencer, man, how you doing, and how did that go?
I'm doing great, and official visit was awesome. Had a great time.
Now, I guess the question is, because I'm going to tell you, if I was to have bet my life on it, I would be dead right now. Because a lot of people thought that you were going to go to Penn State and be Nico Megalutis' successor. So what made you choose Iowa over all those other schools, especially Penn State? I think everybody thought that's what you were going
to
choose.
Well, I just went to the school and visited and went to Penn State and Iowa, and I got the pros and cons, and I just sat down and I just felt like Iowa was a place for me. It just felt like home, and I really did feel like it was a place that I needed to go to achieve my goals. And after I realized that, I said, you know what, I'm gonna commit there, and kind of went from there, kind of rolled with it.
Well, your good buddy Gavin Tisdale also committed. With that addition, and along with others on the roster, how are you guys going to help get Iowa back into a national championship contention when you get up there?
Well, we're going to do our best to try and get other people to join us at the University of Iowa. We had a couple of recruits with me this weekend that I do hope we commit. We got two committed already, so, you know, hopefully we get a couple more. And I think we're just going to train hard and, you know, try and do our best and, you know, keeping the program the way it is, just the legacy of Iowa, just continue it, really.
Speaking of that program, Tom and Terry Brands both, you know, they have tons of wrestling knowledge. How do you think that's going to help you to get in a position to be not only a D1 national champion, but compete in the Olympics someday?
I mean, it's always been my goal to compete in the Olympic Games for my country, and knowing that Tom and Terry Brands will be the coaches that are training me and are going to be the coaches in my corner give me a lot of confidence, because they've both been there and they're both very experienced, and they've had multiple athletes compete in World Olympic Games. And I just trust in Coach Tom and Terry Brands. I just trust them in training me and getting me to where I want to be, really.
And yeah, no, and those are two good guys to elevate your level. Speaking of Olympics, so you were selected as a training partner for Daniel Dennis, and for the Summer Olympics in Rio. Like, how did that happen? Tell me a little bit about how you were selected.
Well, when I first went out training at the training center, I went with this guy. I didn't know him at the time. And we kind of went live, and he kind of beat the crap out of me. And I didn't know who he was, and I was kind of confused. So I was like, who is that? And someone goes, oh, that's Daniel Dennis. And I'm like, who's Daniel Dennis? And I didn't know him very well. And he said, oh, he's an Iowa alum, and he's coming back, trying to come back into wrestling since, you know, the NCAA is when he competed. And I was like, okay. So I asked him to go be my partner that session, and we had an awesome session. Included some more butt whoopings by him to me. And I kind of kept in touch with him after that camp, and I saw him again in another camp at the train center, and we kind of got together and drilled and butt-wise. I had improved since my the year before, and he just got, you know, we just wrestled hard, and I don't know, he just took a liking to me, and yeah, you know. Went to Iowa, wrestled him again, and kind of, you know, helped our bond. And next thing you know, I'm at the Olympic Trials watching, and he makes the Olympic team, and I'm, like, super excited because I knew him. And I go home a week later, I get a call from Daniel Dennis saying, hey, you want to be my training partner at the Olympics? And next thing you know, I'm on a plane to Rio with him, and I'm at the Olympic Games helping him train. It was just everything kind of went after another.
Well, and that's great, just to be selected. I mean, to be a high school kid and be selected by someone that's actually wrestling at the top level of all of the sport, and he asked, you know, a high school kid to come be his training partner. That's just a testament to how good of a wrestling level that you're on. You know, I got to thinking, so a lot of people, and I want to know how it was from your point of view, but a lot of people were talking about the housing conditions that they had for the athletes in Rio. How was it to you?
Well, where I stayed was in off, like, I wasn't on the Olympic Village. I was in a place where only the combat sport athletes were staying if they chose to. And it was really, really nice. I mean, the food there was amazing. A lot of cool Olympians were there, like Taekwondo guys, and archery was there. It was just like, kind of cool meeting some of those people, seeing them train, you know, see our Olympians, our best athletes in our country train. And the conditions are great. I mean, you couldn't have better conditions there. You know, at the beginning, it was awesome. It was just, food was just amazing. Hey, I want fruit, boom, fruit. It was just everywhere. It's fresh. You won't worry about the water. It's because USA took over this abandoned college like 2 years ago, and they got to work into making it into a nice place. So I have no complaints about that, really.
Here's a question. I thought, thinking, what are you, 17 years old? Rio de Janeiro itself kind of has a bad reputation. You know, a lot of it's kidnapping, some of it's human trafficking. At your age, how did your parents feel about letting you take that trip? Did they go with you, or were you by yourself? And, you know, how did that go over when you asked your parents about it?
Well, they trusted, you know, they really do trust Dennis. They trust Tom and Terry Brands, who are both there. And taking care of me, they knew that I was in safe hands with USA Wrestling, Coach Bill Zadick and Bruce Barnett and the rest of them. And they knew that I would be safe as long as I didn't do something stupid, like try and leave campus and walk alone, you know. So I wasn't really worried. Zika virus is kind of a worry, but every morning, they had this van drive around spraying bug spray at like 5 a.m. You know, just precautionary things that, you know, made me feel safe.
Well, and that's good. And I hope you know, you had a great experience with that. One of my other questions is, so you got the wrestling going on in the Olympics. You know, I saw it, you know, I saw, of course the USA wrestlers, you know, realized their dreams, but about a week, maybe 2 weeks after that, Flow Wrestling puts an article up about some corruption going on in the officiating in the Olympics. Did you notice anything to be off at some of the matches that you thought was kind of questionable?
The first match I watched in the Olympics was a Greco. And it was the Russians versus the Korean. And they're both defending Olympic champions. And there's like a reverse body lock call. The guy threw him with like 2 seconds left. If he gets the four, he wins the match. They only call a two, he loses. And he threw it, and it looked like four to me, and they gave him two. Like, it was four, and like, I don't know. I was kind of like, wow, that's crazy. So, I mean, the Russian was probably the best guy in the weight class, but that Korean was pretty dang good, too. So, I feel like that should be the finals match, not the first round of the Olympics, but you never know how that's supposed to go. Random draws and all. I don't know, that's the only thing I really saw, because I thought it was four, so I thought the Korean should have won, but what do I know?
an awful lot, you know. What are you, like a, was it three-time junior world champion, now a cadet world champion, am I correct? Is that the credentials now?
Yeah, I was a cadet world champion in 2014, then junior in 2015, and junior this year. But that's freestyle, not Greco, so.
Yeah, I got you. So, you know, you got to watch you got to watch Jordan Barrows go out there and try to compete for, you know, a second gold medal. He fell short, you know, of his goal to be a 2-time Olympic gold medalist. You know, after those losses that he took, did you see him off camera? And if so, you know, what was he like? Did you get to talk to him? Tell me a little bit about that.
After he lost, or just in general?
In general, and then after he lost, like, you know, what did you get? Did you get to kind of say anything to him? You know, how was he to you?
Well, in general, he's just awesome, all around awesome guy. You couldn't ask for a better ambassador for our sport, for USA Wrestling. He's an amazing guy. You know, him and Kyle Snyder are both great ambassadors for our sport. You know, and even Jaden Cox is amazing. You know, I mean, everyone there, Travell, I could name the entire Olympic team. They're all just, you couldn't find better people. They're just great guys. And Jordan was exceptional with everybody. He made sure to say good morning to everybody. Just kind of going out of his way just to be that guy, that the guy that you think, wow, that's an awesome guy. You know, I hope I'm like him when I'm older, you know. And then after, I didn't really want to bring it up. It's kind of like, a dead relative. You just don't bring it up. But I did, you know, shake his hand and just gave him like a silent nod. And that was about all I really want. I didn't really want to say anything because I knew if I was there, if I was the defending Olympic champion and I lost, someone was like, hey, man, that was a tough loss, I might punch you in the face. like, that was, yeah. This was like hours after he lost. So I was just trying to be as considered as possible to him and everything. So, but other than that, he was super kind. They, once again, after nothing, his demeanor didn't change. He just said, you know, I didn't get it done. That was about it. So I really have a lot of respect for Jordan Burroughs.
You know, and I mean, actually at the end of the day, what could you say? There's probably not anything you could say that could, you know, boost his confidence. I mean, you the guy's worked 4 years to get to that point, and, you know, he just fell short. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess you kind of handled it the right way, because you do want to show your support and say, hey, man, you know, I'm still a fan, but do it within reason. So, yeah, that's crazy. So I got a question for you. So, because I don't know who he wrestled, but Jaden Cox had a match that he lost. It was something like 1-1. They put him on a shot clock, and, you know, of course, he had to take a shot, and you know, if he didn't score with it, the other guy got a point. That he got a point that was like a legit point, where he scored, and then something happened where at the end of regulation, it was still a tie score, but his opponent, Jaden Cox's opponent, was declared the winner. And so, you know, watching it from home, you know, we were hearing things like maybe the coach forgot to tell him that he would lose if the end of regulation, even though it's a tie score. Do you know anything about that or how that happened? Do you know any? You got any insight on that?
Well, it was just like he was in the match. He thought, like, originally when he got the passivity point, like, he looked at the clock and it had a line underneath his color. So he thought he was winning, but they that was a mistake on the officiating part, officiating staff, and the scoreboard. And they changed it like 5 seconds later to the other line and the other guy's name. And Jaden didn't look at that, so he thought he was winning. And our coaches were doing a great job screaming, "You're losing, Jaden! You're losing!" And he was oblivious. You know, he's worried about getting taken down. And next thing you know, he looked over and they're like, "You're losing!" And he's like, "Oh shoot!" And he almost hit the guy down in like 3 seconds, and ended up losing the match. So they had a lot of talking about, like, if you throw the cube in with like 30 seconds left, make sure your athlete knows, like, have the athlete like pick it up, walk around the mat kind of to you, and have the coach say, "Hey, you're losing," and then give the brick back, like, "I don't want to challenge anything," just so your athlete knows you're losing. But they were screaming. It's not like they were like, "Hey, we didn't know," you know, because it was just really hard. It's hard to hear and everyone cheering. It was just, that's really a tough environment, you know. You can't blame anybody. It really does suck that he didn't know.
Yeah, I would definitely hate that. You know, kind of more on a positive note. So, how was it, you know, seeing Helen Maroulis and be the, I guess, first female gold medalist for the USA and Kyle Snyder to be the youngest Olympic gold medalist? How was it seeing them realize their dreams? And did you get to talk to them, and how did that go?
It was awesome, you know. I didn't really get to see Helen very much, because as soon as she won, she got shipped off everywhere. Next morning, she looked like she was half dead because she was up all night doing shows. And, you know, darn. Sucks winning the Olympics. No, but for real, it was cool. You know, we were all cheering really loud for her and excited to see her win. And it was awesome. Her and Snyder it was awesome just being there.
So like I mentioned, of course, Kyle Snyder was the youngest Olympic gold medalist. So you're 17, you know, given the next 4 years, do you think that you would try to maybe take an Olympic red shirt in Iowa and try to go for it? Tell me a little bit about, you know, your plans with that.
I'm just training, you know, just getting ready for the next thing in my life. I don't really think too far ahead. I just train for what's upcoming, and, you know, all you're training for, when you're training for something upcoming, you're training for the broader goal, which would be the Olympics. So I've always been training for the Olympics since I was 12 years old. So I'm just going to keep doing that, working hard, and hopefully I get to achieve my goal soon.
So how does it make you feel that knowing that you may not have a chance to achieve that goal? Because once again, there's been talks about the IOC dropping wrestling in the Olympics.
They're not going to drop their sport. They already brought it back. Maybe they'll drop it in 2028, and we'll have to reappeal, but I don't understand why you would drop our sport.
I don't either. When you think of Olympics, you really kind of do think of you think of wrestling number one. You just think of Greeks and Colosseums and wrestling. So it's kind of like the bedrock sport of the Olympics. Hey, got a question? Because I don't know how much time you have to listen to different talk shows or podcasts. Do you know who Chael Sonnen is? Have you ever listened to his podcast called You're Welcome?
No, I have not.
Okay. I want you to hear something, and then when it's done, I want you to tell me what you think about it. This is Chael Sonnen talking to Ben Askren and actually about you. I want you to hear this, and then tell me your thoughts about it.
Yeah, he got a tough time. I was actually just out in Pennsylvania, and I wrestled with this Spencer Lee kid. You heard of him?
Yeah, how good? Oh, of course. Okay. How good is he? Is he in the right weight class, or is he that damn good?
I want to say he's that damn good. Just his sense of where he's at in space and opponent, compared to his opponent was ridiculous. I mean, I got all these stupid tricks that I do, Chael, and I'll go into a college wrestling room and I'll get him on just about every damn person in the room, whether they're an All-American or National Finals or whatever it is. And freaking Spencer Lee was not falling for most of my tricks. And he's a high school kid. So obviously we can't wrestle because of our size difference, but we were sparring and messing around. And I'll tell you, this kid, it was impressive. He understood where he's at in space. He understood what I was trying to do and what he shouldn't be falling for at that time. I was very, very, very impressed, and I think he's going to be, I think, it's not like I'm going on a limb here, but I think he's pretty damn great in college.
Yeah, well, I would imagine he's a high school kid with two world titles under his belt. There's not a lot of those walking around, but sometimes we do dismiss those guys on either end of the spectrum. We did it to Brock about 40 minutes ago. Now, I do it to Spencer a little bit, but I caught some training footage of him at the Olympic Training Center, and he was going with a Division I champ, and I can't think of who it was now, but it was competitive. I mean, he was giving him – he was losing, but it'd take the guy 3-4 minutes before there'd be a takedown. There were scrambles, and he was in I've been blown away with Lee, but he doesn't quite get the attention. And I think maybe it's just because of that size.
What do you think about all that? Now, here's Ben Askren, a national champion, one of the best in the sport, and he got Chael Sonnen, who was a great wrestler in his own right and one of the best fighters in the UFC, speak highly of you like that.
I did not know that. That's kind of crazy. Wow. I mean, I do think my size might make a difference because you say, oh, he's a world champ, but he's won worlds 3 times at 110 pounds. So I'm hoping to change people's minds because I don't think I can make 110 ever again. But so that's not really an option. But I don't know. That's kind of awesome. I mean, I respect Ben Askren a lot, and Chael Sonnen obviously was an amazing MMA fighter, so I really, 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 really appreciate them saying that. That's really cool. I just hope I can continue to improve and impress and have fun in the sport.
And it's crazy because I'm a Chael Sonnen fan, and that's probably that was about the second time that he brought your name up, and then I was like, I wonder if Spencer knows that, that he's getting – that people, of that standing and stature in combative sports. I just wondered if you knew that you – that's how – how much you've gotten yourself out there as an athlete, like that he talked about you like that. So that's why I had to bring it up. And then I want you to listen to one more clip from his show because I want you to tell me a little bit about that. But this is Ben Askren talking about who he thought the best high school wrestler was in the world or whatever. So I want you to listen to what Ben Askren said about it and tell me your thoughts on it.
You and Tommy are going to do your top 10 list of all time, but who do you put as the greatest high school wrestler of all time?
Oh man, I know you're gonna say Sean Hagee. Well, I mean, I think we just talked about him. I think Spencer Lee is going to go down. He's not quite there yet. But, Chael, you realize this guy could have a cadet world title and three junior world titles by the time he gets out of high school. Not could. He likely will.
Doesn't he have to go to Fargo, though, to be on the list? He wasn't at Fargo this year.
But he's going to go win a junior world title.
I guess.
I agree. I put Fargo on a certain pedestal that I think you do the same way. But when you're winning world titles, the real only knock against Spencer Lee would be that he lost to Dayton Fick. And, you know, he was kind of like not really in the right weight class, but his teammate was at 110, so he only was on there kind of deal. But I really think, I don't think anyone, Chael, has won three junior world titles, let alone in high school. Remember last year he had to petition in because he was so young. And, yeah, I think that could be up there with the best of the best of the best. Besides him, man, what Mark Hall just done is super impressive. Obviously, what Kyle Slater is impressive. I think what we're seeing now, and, you know, with a lot of these, I run a wrestling academy myself, but with a lot of other wrestling academies popping up, is a lot of athletes are getting high-level attention earlier in their career so that they're making progress faster. And I think what we're seeing now at the college level is guys who are ready to step in as true freshmen and freshmen that are more ready than they've ever been before.
What do you think? I think we got a little bit of technical difficulties at the end. So what do you think about all that?
Well, pretty humbling to hear that. Honestly, I just, I don't know. Kind of crazy. I never really thought of it as being the best, one of the best high school wrestlers that ever lived. I just kind of go out there and wrestle and have fun and leave my my talking on the mat like my dad always told me to do. But yeah, I've never been to Fargo. I don't know if I'll ever go. It's always kind of conflicted with my schedule. So, I don't know. But that's crazy. I just, I don't know. It's really humbling.
Yeah, I figured that you didn't even know that, like, they were saying that kind of stuff about you. So I thought I'd just let you know that.
So here's what I got. Are you getting a little bit of feedback? Like, am I kind of like, are you hearing me talk twice, Spencer?
I can barely hear you.
Hold on, I'm going to try to switch it up to it.
No.
What about now?
Yep, that's good.
Okay. Sorry about that. Now, so you decided not to compete in Fargo and not compete in Super 32. So what made you make those decisions?
Well, honestly, it's just the importance of college, that kind of thing. I was injured last year, so I couldn't win Super 32 four times. So that kind of sucked. That was kind of a deciding factor. I really want to get bigger. I know that I can't make 110 anymore. That's kind of unrealistic goal now to make 110 again. So I know I need to get big enough for 21 for juniors and 25 for college. So that's kind of the goal, just lifting and getting stronger and bigger and just sharpening up my wrestling. So I chose not to go to Super 32, which is like a night before weigh-in, two-day tournament, you know. So I'd probably have been 20 there or even 13. But that would have taken away the fact of me getting bigger. So I chose not to go. Just want to get bigger and improve. That's really why.
So I think the last time we talked, I asked you a question. What did you do, like, away from wrestling? You said you like to shoot your bow. Do you still do that?
Yep, I do.
And do you do it, like, do you hunt, like, with it? Or what exactly do you do again?
I went hunting twice this year. I didn't get anything, though, which sucks. But I'm pretty busy, so it's hard to hunt. I can only hunt on weekends. And usually I can't really hunt on weekends because I'm busy. So I did try to go out twice this year. I didn't get anything, but it's more than I have before.
Right. And how are you able to handle the workload and stuff academically to kind of, you know, that when you college wrestling going on, I know it's a lot academically that, you know, that takes the demand and takes a toll on you. How are you able to handle that?
Just when you have free time, you got to study and do your homework. So I do my best. I try. So
you've won a lot. Tell me what match or what match it was that where you thought you just had a bunch of pressure to where you thought that you might have cracked. Like, have you ever had one of those matches where you're so nervous and the pressure's on you? Tell me a little bit about that match and kind of how you handled it.
I don't really get so nervous that I crack. I don't really get nervous. It's more like excitement. Because as soon as you start thinking, oh, what if I lose, and you wrestle bad. So it's just kind of like, I need to go out there and just have fun and wrestle hard. So I'm not really nerves. I'm just trying to go out there and have fun wrestling, really, like I said. At the finals, I wasn't really nervous for Worlds this year. But I was just more excited to win another world title.
I understand that. And since you started wrestling, I guess, preferably, you know, I want to know on a high level, who's been your toughest opponent, somebody that you could kind of give a shout-out to? Who's been the toughest person you ever wrestled?
Oh, man. I really don't. Like, in a match or in practice?
In a match, like, you know, it's in one of your tournaments.
I mean, that kid I had in the world finals this year, I was pretty exhausted after that match, and he was pretty exhausted, and that was probably the most exciting match I've probably ever wrestled in my life. So I probably have to give him a shout-out.
And that was a comeback victory, right?
Yeah, I was losing 8-3. With a
Tell me a little bit about – yeah, I want to know a little bit about that. Like, did you just kind of almost think, like, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to, you know, come back and score, like, 5 points? Like, tell me a little bit about what was in your head when you were down like that.
I can be completely honest. I don't remember thinking anything. It was just almost robotic, just kind of keep moving forward. You know, I was telling myself, I think, a little bit, like, hey, come on, you're tougher than this, you know, because obviously when adversity punched you in the face, it's pretty easy to fold up and quit, but I just said, no, you got to win, you know, you got to do this, you got to win, and I said, you got to be tougher than this, you put all the work in, I was like, you want it more, that kind of thing, but it was mostly robotic, just kind of outscore and slowly walk to the middle, and then continue my barrage of attacks and try and score again and again and again. It was just, my mind was telling me to score, you need to score to win, you know.
I understand that. Just a few more before I finish up with you, rather. Tell me a little bit about, like, how people could, like, follow you, if, you know, just, you know, like on social media if they want to keep up with you.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, like what social medias are you on, like, for people to follow you so they can keep up with you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I don't really use Facebook, but I have Facebook too.
And what are the screen names so they can go follow you so they can keep up with you?
Twitter is at Lee Spencer Lee 36. I don't know why, but I made it. And my Instagram is Spencer Lee 365.
Got you. And Spencer, man, if you don't have anything else to say, man, you know, I'll be letting you go. So, you know, anyways, I say thanks for being on the show. And you know what, real quick, because I think I just checked the DMs on my Twitter. There was a couple people that emailed or direct messaged me some questions, so I'll get to at least one of them. What advice can you give to the kids or the wrestlers that are going to be coming after you? And that is from John Haynes 182.
To try and beat me?
No, like, just that you could give kids, I think where he's coming from is you could give kids, like, to, like, where they could be successful. Like, what advice could you give them?
I mean, really, it just, you got to go to practice with a positive mindset. You gotta go in there thinking, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to get better. You know, you can't dread going to practice, you know. You have to be excited for a tournament, not dreading, oh, I got to wrestle this kid. I'm going to get this kid, you know. I'm going to beat him this weekend. It's just having a positive mindset, you know, just training as hard as you can. And like I said, you need to balance your life. Wrestling isn't your only thing in life. Academics is very important. And you need to have a social life as well. I mean, not like a huge social life, but you need to have friends, you know. So make sure you can balance wrestling with that. I think that's important. My dad did a great job with that when I was young. Making sure on some weekends I would be able to go play airsoft with my friends or paintball or that kind of thing. So make sure you have fun, wrestle hard, work hard, and make sure you're still being a kid, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. I think that's important for kids.
Yeah, I actually like your reaction. Like, what? How to beat me? Like, why would I give them advice on how to beat me? No, I'm glad you understood what I meant. Well, Spencer, man, I know you probably got some homework to do or whatever it is you know you like to do. So I'm going to let you roll. Once again, man, thanks for being on the show. Good luck as you in your quest to be a four-time state champion in Pennsylvania. And don't get to where you get up there in Iowa and start getting success and then not want to be on my show anymore. You wouldn't do that to me, right?
I'm not going to change going to Iowa. I'm just going to get better at wrestling.
No, I didn't say change going to Iowa. I want to make sure once you get up there, you start being successful. If I call you to be on my show, you ain't going to ditch me.
Nah. I'll try.
I appreciate it.
I'll be busy in college, but I'm sure I'll be. I have enough time for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I got you, man. I appreciate it, man. I figure I got to give you a hard time, man. But I'm going to let you roll, and thanks for being on the show.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, everybody, that was Spencer Lee, and he is like a three-time world champion. He's literally the best high school wrestler in all the country ever, period. So, and that's coming from the best. That's coming from Ben Askren. So I think his opinion counts, but you name me a high school wrestler that you can put their resume up against, and you tell me. So, anyways, this has been another episode of Access Radio Live. Thanks for tuning in, and hope you enjoyed. We'll catch you next week.